We are in 3 John tonight. I did look up the name Gaius when I got home last week, put on pronunciation. The first way I heard it pronounced was Gaius, because there's some places you click on, but there's others that have it pronounced Gaius or Gaius. It seems like Gaius is probably the predominant way of saying it. And then I look at my Bible here, I do have a note written down here with a pronunciation written over it, Gaius, so I think, and I've got that, well, you don't have notes, I didn't print notes, but it's pronounced Gaius, Gaius, or Gaius. Like, the instead, it'd be like G-E-Y-E-S, Gaius, or just Gaius, or Gaius. And so, it seems to be acceptable in many different ways. I've been saying Gaius, but I think probably if you came down, I think Gaius is probably the standard, most popular way that it is said. One thing as we begin this, I do want to talk about this issue that we see in this book, that we've seen in 1 John, 2 and 3 John, is the issue is truth. John is interested in truth. We often think he's interested in love, and then that drifts off into some kind of, acceptance, make everybody feel good. If you make somebody feel bad, you're not very loving, so you're not a Christian. John is interested in truth, and that's the unifying factor. In 2 John, for example, we see the word in a very short book. Truth is used 6 times. Love is used 2 times. I believe in this book, truth is used 6 times. Love is used 4 times. So truth is mentioned more often in 2nd, 3rd John. Now, in 1st John, it's 10 to 40 almost. Truth, 10, love, 40. Because what he's focusing on there is that if you are in, he's using, remember, he in 1st John, he's using the concept of love in the brotherhood as being a sign of those who are in the truth. If you do not have truth, you're not walking in love. You do not have love for the brothers. And if you are in some group, some way, not showing love towards the brotherhood, that's an indication you do not have the truth and you are not walking in the truth. So love is never standing alone in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, like just love's out there. A lot of times we think God is love, the greatest thing is love, it's out there. It's like, no, it's truth. And true, when you know the truth and you're walking in the truth, you're going to have love. And this love is, in context, it's love for the brotherhood. And I wrote this word right here. Think more of it this way. Instead of being an emotion that, I love people, I care for people, I'm tolerant of people, I don't want anybody to feel bad. This love is a covenant. Because they are in the truth with you, because they are part of the truth of the Christian family. Again, that's dangerous because, Christians should love one another. That doesn't just mean come to church and we got to put up with you. This is going to be, you've brought into the truth. You've come into the light and you're embracing light and walking light. Light, we now have a covenant. We are in the same family. We have the same Lord. Like on Sundays, we have the same Spirit. We're doing these things. We have, in a sense, a covenant of love. What you're going to see here, Gaius is going to have people stopping by. And he's going to demonstrate, he's walking in the truth, and he's going to demonstrate by showing these traveling ministers, he's going to show them love. Not, I want to be kind and nice and all this fluffy stuff. He's going to, because they are in the truth with him, he's going to see it as a covenant. He's going to make sure they're provided for. By helping them accomplish their mission, he's showing them this God kind of covenant love. Like almost like what you see when God talks about loving Israel, it wasn't that he had great emotion for Israel, although you can include that. It was he had a covenant with Israel. He would move heaven and earth to make sure things happened for them, or even bringing discipline to bring them back. So think more of a covenant, a commitment, and that's why this love is not, in a sense, just universal. Everybody's in this. If you are in this truth, we're going to show the brotherhood love or a covenant. We're going to work and support what's going on here. So keep that in mind when we come up with these words, truth and love. Truth seems to be the predominant thing, and love is always going to be in the truth, but it's going to be more about, a covenant. It's a family. It's a bond that is being used. Not so much a Western emotion per se. So keep that in mind. Characters that are coming up here, we know this. Gaius. I've said that he is the one who's received these letters. And the cover letter is probably 3 John. 2 John is going to be something that's going to be read to the church. And then 1 John may be a letter that's going to be circulated because it's not necessarily addressed to anybody. But he could be a leader of a church. He could be a pastor. He might be a pastor or a leader of a church that's different than the church that Diotrephes has taken over. Diotrephes is going to be the bad guy. He's going to be the guy who is in the church, but he wants to be first. It's not about the truth being first. It's not about presenting Jesus. Now, the name Jesus is not in this book. You keep looking for it in the beginning. You keep looking at the closing verse. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. In Jesus' name. There's nothing. There's no Jesus. The closest thing we have is going to be that the missionaries went forth. They went out because of the name. They went out because of the name. That's as close as you're going to come. We know the name is Jesus. We assume the name is Jesus. And I think that's very accurate. But that's the closest it's going to come. Now, why that is like that, it could be, it may just be that it's not mentioned. It may be that everybody knows this as a fact. He's just not going to say something that everybody's aware of, but he does mention it very strongly in 1 John. It also may be that this is a letter that's going to be seen on the surface of a package or something, or he doesn't want to believe, like we talked about in 2 John, we saw the chosen lady and her children, and it closes with the children of your chosen sister send their greetings. It's like, who is this lady? Who are these children? It's all metaphorical. It's the church and the members of the church, but no one's mentioned by name. And so if this would ever be captured during a time of emperor worship that was going on at this time in Ephesus, or Asia, where Ephesus is at, there wouldn't be any persecution. Now, Jesus is mentioned in 2 John. There wouldn't be any persecution of who can we, go after. Where in this letter, 3 John, you've got names of 3 people, 2 good guys, Gaius and Demetrius. And so they're named. So why aren't we hiding those names? It may be that they're not mentioning Jesus. No one really knows what this letter is about. It's just a letter about some issues. And not necessarily, it could be a letter about philosophy, some would say, and not necessarily about the gospel. And so that would protect these guys because Jesus' name is not associated in a letter with these guys' name. It's just the name. And everyone knows it's Jesus. Well, when we mention Jesus' name in 2 John, there's nobody there, just the chosen sister, the chosen lady and her chosen sister. It's like, who are these people? Well, they're dealing with Jesus Christ. So how can we find them? We can't find them because we don't know their names. Well, here we've got names, but there's no connection to Jesus. Again, I don't know if I made more of that than there needs to be made, but it is interesting. There's no mention of Jesus in this book. Gaius could be a pastor or a leader in a church that's away from or on a different setting, different town than the church Diotrephes has taken over. He wants to be first. So that could be a situation. And so John, the elder, is writing Gaius and warning him about Diotrephes. And there's 2 basic parts. Well, 3, if we would, right here, these 3 names. Gaius is going to be commended and encouraged to continue to be hospitable because what he's doing is helping the name. He's helping the cause. He's showing his covenant love by helping the brothers. Diotrephes is just the opposite. He's not helping anybody. He's not helping the name. He's not showing love, which goes right back to 1 John. He's not showing love because he doesn't have the truth. He's got his own agenda. He's promoting himself, his own. He won't have anything to do with John's teachers. So Diotrephes is the opposite of Gaius. Gaius has truth and love and is helping the brothers. Diotrephes is for himself, is rejecting the truth, and rejects the brothers. And so there's the contrast. Gaius seems to be being warned about Diotrephes. Now, I'm going to go at this a different way and say this could, and as we look at this, consider that, but also consider this. The elder, John, who calls himself the elder, maybe because Gaius, who is called a child of his, meaning that John led him to the Lord, that John is his superior, that John is teaching him. Gaius may not know John, or he knows his name is John, but it's kind of like your football coach in high school. You didn't call him Bob, you called him Mr. whatever. And so Gaius is not going to call him John, he's going to call him the elder. And so that might be why John calls himself the elder, because Gaius and his relationship was very close, but yet, especially as in his old age, John is Gaius' superior. But also, that being said, it is possible, again, one scenario that is interesting to kind of overlay this book with, this is speculation, but who is Gaius? He's somebody that's important to John. He's someone that needs to be warned about Diotrephes. But Gaius is one, he's not told to confront. He's not told to confront Diotrephes. He's not said, John says, I'll take care of it. I've got much more to say about this. He doesn't want to use words. He doesn't want to just say bad things about Diotrephes, but he does want Gaius to be aware of what Diotrephes is doing. The other thing, Gaius is not said to be a great leader. He's not commended to be, sharing the gospel or heading up the church. He's recognized for one, walking in the truth, and for to knowing the truth. And this walking in the truth is going to lead to his love, which is going to be manifested as basically what Gaius is doing. If he's doing anything, he's being hospitable. He's welcoming people into his home. He's feeding them, he's providing on them, sending them on their way. He's helping the truth. So this is interesting. But that doesn't mean he can't be a pastor, he can't be a leader, but he's not called any kind of a leadership. He's called Gaius, and he's recognized for knowing the truth and walking the truth and being hospitable. If he is doing anything, he's helping. He's helping these people that are the traveling teachers. The next thing we're going to see as we get into this is, again, I don't want to make a big deal about this, but he says, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. So he's very confident that he is in the truth, which means his soul is well. Gaius has a healthy soul. And this may just be a, wishing you well, like an empty statement, but John does pray that he enjoy good health and that all may go well with him, just as his soul is. He recognizes that his soul is in the truth. It is healthy. And now he's praying for his physical health and his physical well-being. So it could be that Gaius himself may be older. He may have some kind of struggle with. Now again, I'm speculating. It's one of these things where it's like, where does it say that? Well, based on what I'm doing is tying this together, that Gaius is not recognized as a leader. He's recognized as someone that's got a house that's more than willing to help people as they come by. And he's important as people come by, which maybe means he's removed from the main highway or the main city. If Gaius is just one of many people in the city, well, and there's Christians, there's plenty of places to stay. But Gaius seems to be an important part of the travel route, that people are coming and going. We're going to see that there's going to be people that have come and gone, the way it's phrased, that many people have said something about him. So we can assume that he's away from Diotrephes. We can assume he is unfamiliar with what Diotrephes is doing because John is telling him. But yet he's not giving him more information than he needs. It's just, this guy's dangerous. Some of the men that are coming to your house, Diotrephes is rejecting. He's not accepting our men. He's not accepting our letters. And Demetrius may be one of those men who is traveling through Gaius' house being rejected by Diotrephes. And so John feels it's important to update Gaius concerning Diotrephes, recommend him to Demetrius to him. But Gaius may not have any, as far as leadership or authority, equal to Diotrephes. But Diotrephes, his bad influence, because he's gossiping. It says he's going to say he's gossiping. He's saying, making things up. He's saying hard things about John and his men. This could rippled down, and Gaius could hear about it if John doesn't head it off. And so now Gaius is going to start following Diotrephes, and they lose this spot on the travel route. Diotrephes won't accept him. Gaius is like, well, I want to follow. So Gaius may be out of touch with what's going on in the city. I mean, you just say the city, that'd be like the main spot where Diotrephes is trying to control things. He may be older and not able to travel into the main part. He may not have his health, may be fragile, not able to travel and be, you know, involved. And he may be in a rural area where travelers are stopping to go to the next location, which puts Gaius out of the loop. But yet he's right in the middle of the travel routes. And so John is writing to him saying these things, warning, saying, you're doing a great thing. You're in the truth. I pray for your health, that your body may be like your soul, solid and healthy. Now, Diotrephes, he's saying some bad things about us. You keep doing the good. Don't be like Diotrephes and start putting people out of the church or putting the travelers out. This guy is wrong. He says, John says, I will deal with him. I don't want to use words. I don't want to use empty words, or I don't want to use pen and paper. Meaning, I'm warning, giving you enough information, Gaius, about Diotrephes. That's all you need to know is, one, I don't want you to deal with it. Maybe because he can't, or doesn't have the position. But also, that's all. I'm not going to start doing what Diotrephes and just run him in the ground. I've given you enough information. When you're going to see it right in there, when you get the book, I'll do it face to face. When I get there, I will confront him face to face. Public, not publicly at first, privately, I'll take on Diotrephes myself when I get there. You just don't let him influence what's happening here with Demetrius traveling, the traveling people coming and going. You keep doing your good work. You're following. You're doing all these things for the name. Now, Diotrephes, don't let him influence you. I'll deal with him when I get there. And this is John, this is 90 to 95 A.D., most likely. So John is in his 90s, and he's still going after. I'm not sure what Diotrephes is expecting. He's going to walk into his office one day, but it's going to be the Apostle John, who in his younger days wanted to call fire out of heaven and consume the Samaritans because they wouldn't let Jesus come through. And so now he's going face to face with Diotrephes, and I would assume Diotrephes is going to be shaken, I would assume. Okay, but anyway, that's kind of the setting. Again, who is Gaius? He may be a leader of a church. He may be in the same church as Diotrephes. Or he may be someone that's removed but is important in the travel routes and not aware of everything that's going on. So kind of listen for those things as we go through this. Here we go. Chapter 1, or verse 1, the elder. That's John. And that might be what, his name that they went by. We talked about before, there's no reason to doubt that that's John. I mean, that's history would agree with that. Elder was a common name for the leadership apostle in this Asia area. Apostles were called elders, even at the Jerusalem Council. The very people that are called apostles were also called elders. This is not strange at all. To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Now notice right here, they're friends, and he loves him, and loves him where? Loves him in the truth. The reason they even have a relationship is because of truth. If Gaius goes off the reservation, like Diotrephes, we have nothing to do here. We're done here. Well, he said in 2 John, we don't even welcome people like you. We don't greet you. We don't send you on your way. We walk away. So keep that in mind. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Now, in verse 3, right here, it gave me great joy that some of the brothers come and tell about your faith. That's in my Bible. It just says, it gave me great joy, as if we're starting another thought. Do your Bibles have anything in there? Like the English Standard Version, it begins, for I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified. In other words, there's the Greek word gar, or for. To begin verse 3, it begins with for, which is like because. In other words, what he's saying, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. How does he know his soul is getting along well? That's verse 3. The NIV drops the ball here. Even as your soul is getting along well, the Greek would say, for it gave me great joy to have some of the brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. So in other words, he's praying for his health and his well-being. I'll just say well-being. That it may be like his soul, for I know your soul is doing well because the brothers who came through your place when they got back told me. And it's not just singular when it says right here, brothers come and tell about your faith. When it talks about come and tell, or when they, I'm looking for the word here, it is in a sense bearing witness. Bearing witness is in the Greek, another translation, is a present participle, indicates that it's been repeated reports. So what has taken place in there, the brothers come and tell about your faith, that in the Greek is a repeated, it didn't just happen once, it's a repeated action. They're coming from wherever Diotrephes is at, potentially, passing through Gaius's place, and going to John. They're going back and forth, and wherever they come, they always recognize that he is in the truth, that his soul is doing well because of the way he's treated. He's in the truth, and he's showing love or hospitality, showing that covenant love, commitment to the brothers. And so John knows, for the brothers have told me, you're doing well. It gave me great joy to have some of the brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth. Here's truth again. Notice he's being faithful to the truth. And how he's being faithful to the truth? Well, it says faithful truth and how you walk in the truth. So he's walking in the truth and being faithful to it. And that being faithful to it is he's committed to it and following it so that he can help others do it. He himself is living it, but he's also committed to it and expanding it. So there's two words, there are two ways of looking, not looking at it, but he mentions truth. There he's faithful to truth and continue to walk in the truth. And then an interesting verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So you can see right there, look, in verses 3 and 4, it's truth, truth, truth. And he loves him, in verse 1, he loves him in the truth. Verse 1. So truth is predominant right there. But he calls him, he says, that my children are walking in the truth. John, the elder, is considering Gaius as one of his children who has heard the truth, accepted the truth, and now is producing, walking in the truth, and continues to show his faithfulness to the truth on how he helps the traveling brothers. So John's child, Gaius, again, he may be old himself. He's got his own place. He's got money. He's got people coming and going. And that may be all that he can do. He may not be able to travel somewhere. He may not be able to go over and confront Diotrephes, but he can take care of his house, and people are coming and going. And he's walking in the truth and being faithful to it as he helps the brothers. And this gives John joy. And all these words, the joy, the truth, the love, that's all things Jesus taught his disciples, not so much as a commandment to go out and execute, but that if you stay in the truth, if you abide in Christ, this will be what happens. This will be the way you produce in your life. I'm looking here at my notes. See, it's nicer if you have notes and you can look at the notes with me, and I can pretend I'm teaching as I mumble through them. The brothers, now again, I do want to point this out. The brothers, I've talked about traveling teachers because Demetrius is going to be traveling. This is besides Gaius being commended, Diotrephes is being warned against, Demetrius is going to be commended. This is like his reference letter. Accept him. He's with us. So these brothers could be, one, they could be traveling teachers. There's no doubt about it. But two, they could be just simply traveling believers, where they are maybe traveling for business, and they're passing from one place to another, and they're passing by Gaius' house. So they could be teachers, or they could just be believers. But yeah, they're called brothers here, and even the term brothers, it is used in the text, in this this culture as brothers. They're in the group. It doesn't just mean males. It means the family, the brothers. And it would include, could be translated brothers and sisters, because it would be believers. So I'm going to go to verse 5 now. Dear friend, and how he's going to begin, notice verse 2, in the NIV it says, dear friend, or beloved. In verse 2, verse 5, dear friend, or beloved, and then verse 11, dear friend, or beloved. So those are his three points where he reloads and begins to address again another issue. But here, dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing. He just talked about what was taking place, but now he says you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers. Again, I assume these are traveling, but they could be just people that are Christians that are moving about. Even though they are strangers to you, meaning these are not your friends, they're friends of the truth. And because they're friends of the truth, you love them in the truth, not because you've got a relationship with them. You love them because they and you have a relationship with the truth, and you have a covenant love between them. Even though they're strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. Again, notice that. That's very interesting. Very interesting. They're strangers, and this just confirms what I'm trying to say. They're strangers, but when the strangers come by, they tell of Gaius's love. And that love cannot be personal. It cannot be emotional. It cannot be some kind of, you know, softness or whatever we want love to be. This love is these strangers who are coming in the truth as members of the truth. They meet Gaius, and because they are part of the truth, they're part of the brotherhood, they're part of the church, they're welcomed, and he shows them this covenant love. Because you're in the church, I owe this to you. My gift is hospitality. I'll give you food. I'll give you a place to stay. I'll give you something, some money to pay your expenses on the way. Whatever it is, he's showing them covenant kind of love. They may not even like each other personally. You've met people like this. You just don't hit it off personally. Your personalities don't mesh. That's not about that. This is about a covenant commitment to the truth. And because they're in the truth, we're committed to the same cause. That's what we're talking about in church in Ephesians 4. Talking about the spirit of unity and having gentleness and patience and keeping the bond of peace. And then you've got the seven doctrinal points there. It's you're going to have some Christian character to deal with people, because you can't. They're not all going to be friends. But you will love them in this covenant kind of love because they're all in the truth. And so, John is recognizing that. Dear friend, verse 5, you are faithful in what you are doing. You are doing it the right way for the brothers. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church when they got back to John's church, wherever John's stationed, about your love, about your commitment, about your covenant commitment to them because they're in the truth. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Now, right there, that phrase, you will do well, it's an idiom for saying please. It's a soft desire, a polite request. So you're doing it, and then he's saying basically, please continue to do this. This is exactly what we need. You know the truth. You're walking the truth. Continue to execute your gift, which would appear to be the gift of hospitality. You've got these players that are coming. I mean, they've got to be some powerful teachers, some guys that have some great insight, because they're coming from John, going out into Asia, into the churches of the seven churches. And so these guys are, we say, these are the teachers. These guys have got the message. People come to hear them teach. And what's Gaius' job? Hospitality. Make sure they've got a place to stay. Because the ancient world was different. The whole church could not grow. Look how many struggles Paul had going across the world, traveling. He found places that he could stay, but he talks about himself. He was shipwrecked. He had places where he didn't have any place to stay. He had sleepless nights. He got attacked. Because this was not the world that we live in, where we can just, I mean, we can go anywhere. We just call ahead, get a hotel, and they're going out of their way because the competition is so stiff. If you don't treat me right here, if you don't give me a free breakfast, I just got to go to the hotel across the street there, and they'll give me a free breakfast and have a happy hour. It's like, what about that? You won't even change my sheets. It's like, well, no, we'll change your sheets. We'll change them right now if you want us to. I mean, they'll go out of their way to accommodate you. That's not the world he lives in. If they don't have a place to stay, they're sleeping on the side of the road. So Gaius is a key clog in this wheel, this machine of ministry work that has been built over this first century from Paul's day until now. And Gaius is doing his job. He's being faithful to the truth by helping these brothers. He may not be a pastor. He may not be a church leader. But he's crucial in this system. And that's he's being commended. And that's why when we get to Diotrephes, Diotrephes could just throw a wrench in this whole thing. All Diotrephes has to do is his message, his attitude, his criteria of who's good and who's bad just has to filter down into this travel route, infest Gaius, and Gaius all of a sudden is saying, oh, we don't accept you guys because you're on the blacklist. You're wrong. And John is stepping in saying, no. We're testifying that these guys are good. Diotrephes is the bad guy. Don't let him interrupt the system. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out. Again, there's the name Jesus right there. It's for the sake of the name. It's for Jesus' namesake, for his purpose, that they went out. They did not go out because that was their career. They didn't go out there because, you know, it was their own motivation. They wanted to build a ministry. They went out there because of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. Once again, pointing out here, if the Christians don't hang together, the only people that can understand this mission, the name, what's going on here, is going to be the believers, because the pagans are not going to jump on board and help this. You can get a community behind your efforts if, per se, a group of believers want to say, we're going to feed the homeless, or we're going to build a shelter, we're going to build a recreational center, we're going to build whatever. The community would say, well, we don't really believe in Jesus, but we definitely need this in our community. And they'll support feeding the homeless. They'll support some kind of homeless shelter. They'll support some kind of recreational center. It's like, why? Because we need that in our community. But the pagans do not need Jesus. The pagans do not need the name. They are not going to, what are you here for? We're traveling. We're presenting the gospel. The government's not going to say, you know what? Well, our government is not going to come and say, you know what? Let's get behind this. They're preaching the gospel. The government, listen, if I wanted some kind of community support for Generation Word, then I better get out there and do something in the community so the community can see, look, we're building buildings, we're feeding these, we're doing this, we've got this, and the whole community go, wow, we can get behind this. But you step up with the Bible and start teaching about the name, it's like, what's he doing? There's only one group that's going to recognize this, and it's not the pagans. It's got to be those who are in the brotherhood. It's going to be the brothers who recognize, we need this. This is crucial. This is the truth. And so when he says this, it was for the sake of the name they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. Meaning they went out for something bigger than this world, bigger than the temporal world, bigger than the community. They went out for the name, and the pagans are going to look at it every time and go, what? We don't need this. How about doing something in our community? And so, obviously, he's saying they're not doing anything other than presenting the truth. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. Well, again, I'll read it again. We ought to therefore show hospitality to such men that are going out for the name, that we may work together. That's that love coming together like this machine, the body, the house being built, that we may work together for, here it is again, the truth. Now again, we're not belittling love, but love is going to come from the truth. If you just send people out with the ministry of love, what is that? We're just going to love. We're just going to put up with everybody. Well, the first thing, if you're just going to go out and love everybody, put up with everybody, what is the first thing you've got to get rid of? Truth. Because that's going to divide people. And now, we just tolerate everybody. And then when you start there, that's just going to start division. And I think John and Paul, the Beatles, they demonstrated that you need more than love. All you need is love. No. That's what the Beatles said. And then the very year they wrote that, and that was on public television, big, I remember watching on TV, 69, the very year they came out with All You Need Is Love, they broke up. They divided. They couldn't get along anymore because, all you need is truth. All you need is truth. It wouldn't sound good, especially in the 60s. But anyway, that's that. Okay. So now, verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with this. So he says, I wrote to the church. Now that adds to, if there's this place right here called the city, we'll just call this the city, where this church is, and John is over here, and John is in a church. And again, I'm not sure if he's leading the church. He's definitely involved in it. And there's people traveling back and forth. And from John, they're going several directions. But somewhere right in here is this place called Gaius. Gaius is right here. And so they travel through here. They stop. They're refreshed. And they're sent back and forth. Now, John is writing to Gaius, telling him what's going on over here, because the brothers are coming back. They're saying, this is good. But they come back and they say, Gaius received us. He was very hospitable, both ways, coming and going, whatever. They're saying good things. Repeatedly saying, stop at Gaius' house. Gaius will accept you. Gaius is part of the mission. Gaius is part of the machine of evangelizing Asia. We're teaching the church. But when we got to the city, when we got to the church, Diotrephes wouldn't have anything to do with this. So this was a big no. This was a big yes. And John's over here going, what? What's going on? And so he's going to write now to Gaius and tell him this. I wrote to the church, not to Gaius, but to the church. But Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So you see, John is trying to send influence this way before Gaius' influence spreads out this way and consumes Gaius. I wrote to the church. Now, that letter, where's that letter? Well, you can tell where that letter's at. It's in the trash somewhere. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with this. Now, this may give us a little bit of insight into what these are. You've got 3 John, which is to Gaius, and then you've got 2 John, and both these have been presented. That 2 John is a copy of what was sent to the church that never made it because Gaius wouldn't receive it, or 1 John was what was sent to the church and it never made it because Diotrephes wouldn't receive it. Did I say Gaius wouldn't receive it? Diotrephes wouldn't receive it. Again, that may be the case, but we may not have it. The letter appears to have arrived, but Diotrephes wouldn't accept it. So, notice what he says right here. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with this. This loves to be first would indicate he wants to be in charge. He doesn't want John's teaching to be first. He doesn't want John to be the elder. He wants to be the elder, which means it could be he's still teaching the apostolic doctrine. He just doesn't want anybody else in charge. Or it more likely is, because if he was teaching the apostolic doctrine, you would probably side with John. It's probably more like he's both arrogant and is creating his own doctrine. He's creating his own teaching. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves me first, will have nothing to do with this. So now notice this. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing. Gossiping maliciously about us, not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. So you can see 3 things right here. He's got, Diotrephes has an attitude, but that attitude is also taking action. He wants to be first, that's his attitude, but he's also taking action. He wants to be first, that's his attitude. But when someone else comes from John, he sends them away. His action is to reject. So his attitude is, I want to be first. So his action is to reject the truth. There's no room for truth in his attitude. Now, you can have somebody say, well, they maybe want to be first and bring the truth. But if your attitude is, I want to be first, the truth is going to convict that out of him and reveal it, and he's going to have to somehow squelch the truth, which means he's going to have to change this. So you can see right there, his attitude, he wants to be first, and his action is not to receive anybody, which probably would include Demetrius, who's going to be commended here, is to reject Demetrius. And one of the other main issues of this letter is Demetrius wants to make sure that when he gets to Gaius' house, he's welcomed. It's not because he just likes to stay there, because he's got like a pool and some nice, you know, views of the Mediterranean world. It's like, because I can't stay there, I'm sleeping in the street somewhere. I need to get there. So Demetrius is going to have this letter to tell him, Demetrius is good, doing a good work. He's with John. John is going to say, now, if you've heard anything from the city, the Diotrephes, he's rejected Demetrius, or he's rejected Demetrius' team and other brothers. That's not what we're talking about. So Diotrephes' attitude of wanting to be first has resulted in action which is now hindering the work of the church. And John is trying to make a correction here. He's going to make a correction here in Gaius' house, making sure he doesn't lose this house, the route. But then John is going to take a trip up here to meet with, well, he says right here, so if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing. He says, I will go and bring attention to it. And what he's indicating there, I'm looking here. Oh, I got something I got to read to you too here quick. Yeah. It says, I got my notes. I'll bring up what he is doing is a mild way of translating the fact that the elder, John, intends to take up the matter with Diotrephes personally when he gets there. And what he is doing here, it says right here, so if I come, I'll call attention to what he is doing. And what is he doing? These things. He's gossiping maliciously about us. And that gossiping maliciously is a Greek word. It's phlaeron, means to talk nonsense, to gossip against, to talk idly, to make empty charges against. It's basically, he's trying to create fake news about John. He's talking idly. He's gossiping. It's malicious intent of bringing rumors and speculation about how bad John is. And if he can just, now notice, he's willing to eliminate John from the equation so he can be first. Now, if you're going to try to eliminate John, you've got to be eliminating truth. Why would you, what are you going to say against John? That he's, what, too old? That could be it. A new player's in town. A new generation's in town. Maybe they just don't want John's old ways. Well, John's old ways were the original ways, which means you want to change the truth. You want to update the message. Whatever the reason is, maybe John's too adamant about sin. Maybe they want to change that. You see a lot of this stuff in 1 John. But nonetheless, he wants to eliminate John from the equation. So to do that, says he's gossiping maliciously about us, slandering, trying to bring accusations against him. Not satisfied with that, he's not just saying bad things about John, undermining John's ministry and John's message. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. So when the brothers come, he won't let them come in to the church. Won't let them speak, won't let them be heard, doesn't accept them. And also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. So in other words, Gaius, I'm telling you this so that this doesn't influence you, but do understand that by listening to me, you are coming under attack by Diotrephes. John is trying to keep Gaius in his orbit. Diotrephes has got his own orbit, and Gaius is going to have to make a choice real soon. Are you going to go with Diotrephes and prevent the spread of the truth? Or are you going to stand with John and face the consequence that you may not be allowed to function in that church? Now, when it says put them out of the church, it's probably not talking about, you know, some strict excommunication that's probably not developed. They probably are just not, they're ostracized. They're just not welcomed in the church. I wanted to read this to you. I had it in my notes. But this is from, I've talked about it several times over the last few years. But it's from the Didache or Didache, which is from the first sentence, from this time period. It's Didache or Didache means the teaching. And it was probably from 90 to 110 A.D. was in it when it was first written. So it is a contemporary document with John. That's not unusual. We've got the bishop in Rome at this time was Clement. And Clement is going to write to the Corinthians in 96 A.D., the same year apparently that John is writing Revelation. So we've got letters from the pastor in Rome writing to Corinth. And we've got others. So we've got letters from this time period. They're not scripture, but they're church material that was circulating. So it's not surprising that we've got a book called The Teaching, and it's supposed to be the teaching of the apostles. And that would make complete sense that around 90 A.D., they began to record the things the disciples taught. They established some guidelines. It's not scripture, but it is first century material. There's really no doubt about that. And it may have been tweaked a little bit. It may not. We don't know if it's, you know, it's not scripture, but it does capture the feeling of the church at this time, which was exactly, you can see, is the church perfect in 90 A.D.? No. Look at John's dealing with. They're putting John out of the churches. They don't accept his. They're rejecting letters from the apostles. So clearly there's some things that have already gone wrong, as the apostles said. But here's what is in, and I like the Didache or the Didache. I like this. It's not a bad book, but it's not scripture. Here's what they write concerning traveling ministry. Now this comes right from, this is right in the heart of this action. This is not speculation. It's like this is what's happening here is what is being addressed here. Didache, verse 11, or Didache. Let every apostle, and that doesn't necessarily mean the 12 apostles, it means people that are sent out. Let every apostle, when he comes to you, be received as the Lord. But he shall not abide more than a single day. Or if there be need, a second likewise. But if he abides 3 days, he's a false prophet. Now how do you tell a false prophet from a true prophet? If he stays 1 day, teaches, and leaves, he's a prophet, an apostle sent by God. You treat him like the Lord. But if he's there, you get up and he's still there the third day, yeah. No, that's not how an apostle would move about. He's on the move. He's on a mission. He's not got time for 3 days. Well, it's a 5-week series. It's like, no, it's a 1-day series. You got other places to go. And there's other people coming. And when he departs, let the apostle receive nothing save bread. So you can feed him, you can give him a place to stay, but when the true teacher leaves, give him a sandwich. Until he finds shelter. Meaning, give him a sandwich. You've got to get from point A to point B, well, it's going to take 4 hours. So here's a little lunch. Thank you for your message. And then when he finds shelter, then someone's going to feed him, do his laundry, that's part of it, give him some food, maybe get some expenses paid for him. Thank you for staying. Oh, it looks like it's raining, it's storming, it's snowing. You better stay another day. Okay, it stopped raining, we'll see you. Well, I really like this place. Can I preach again tomorrow? No, you're now a false prophet. Go. This is you can read this anywhere. You can look this up online. But if at any time he asks for money, he is a false prophet. Well, you know, I have to have this. I need a new jet. I need to take an offering. It's like, yeah, no. Now, I'm just reading what it says. But if he asks for money, he's a false prophet. And whosoever shall say in the Spirit, give me silver or anything else, you shall not listen to him. If he says in the Spirit, if he somehow, whatever that means, in the Spirit, meaning if he says he's got a message from God, you need to give me money. If he's praying, may these people give me money. If he's doing anything, and if he's having a vision, if he's just teaching and explaining and in his message, it's give me money, he's a false prophet. Nowhere, whenever the Spirit of God is involved in any of these travels, the issue of money will never come up. because that this is based on love. This is based on a covenant which includes the covenant of hospitality. You move about, people take care of each other. But if you are really a traveling teacher for the namesake, then you should be traveling and teaching. And we can send you from here to here with a sandwich and give you a place to stay. Well, you want to take an offering for what? I mean, here's a sandwich. Here's your next place to stay. What do you need? And if they need some, people are going to, well, let me read this. But if he tell you to give on behalf of others that are in want, let no man judge him. So, for example, they say, like Paul went around, Paul collected money. Remember what Paul collected money for from the Gentiles to take to the poor Jews in Jerusalem. And again, Paul appears to have had, and that didn't mean these people were poor. People can give to him and take care of him. But the concept is the love of the church, the love of people with a gift like Gaius with the gift of hospitality will more than take. These people haven't sworn a vow to poverty. They've sworn a vow to traveling and teaching and are trusting the name to manifest gifts through this hospitality, the gift of love, the covenant of love, to take care of them. So anyway, that's interesting. That's from the Didache, and you can see how that's kind of taking place here. I'm going to wrap this up, verse 11. Dear friends, he says, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. So our dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Now, in other words, he's given him two scenarios. He's given him John's scenario, and he's given him Diotrephes' attitude. And he says, now, you imitate what is good, not evil. In other words, do not do what he's doing. Imitate what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. So right here, Diotrephes, this is it right here. Gaius. Diotrephes. Trying to spread his circle. And John with the truth. And he's spreading his circle. Gaius is right now in John's circle. Now he presented two things. He's presented Gaius is doing the good thing. You're welcoming the brothers. Then he says Diotrephes is doing the evil thing. He's rejecting the brothers. He wants to be first. Now, do not imitate what is evil. Imitate what is good. What we are doing is good. You keep doing this. Don't do this. When you've got to make a choice, because Diotrephes is eventually going to influence Gaius. Don't imitate this. Continue to imitate this. Then he goes on and says this, right out of 1 John, anyone who does what is good is from God. Right here. We are from God because we're doing the good thing. Anyone who does what is evil, which is what Diotrephes is doing, has not seen God. In other words, he's now throwing Diotrephes under the bus. He's not a believer. He has not even, just like we ended 2 John, he has not even seen. It's not like he's in the church and he's fallen away or something, having some trouble. He apparently, he knows himself. He knows his agenda. He's rejecting the truth. He's doing evil. He does not even know God. So Diotrephes is out. John and the truth are in. They're good. They've seen God. Diotrephes is evil because he doesn't even see God. He doesn't even know God. Gaius, imitate this. That's what he's saying. Now, that leads him to the next point. Demetrius is well spoken of by... Why did you say that? Well, because the guy that's handing you a letter is from the good side. Demetrius, the one standing in front of you. You need to imitate us and accept him and send him on his way and not imitate Diotrephes and reject him. And we can assume that Demetrius and some of his traveling companions have been rejected by Diotrephes. He's already trashed a letter from John and has put people out of the church. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone. And then he gives three witnesses. Everyone, even by the truth itself, we also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. So everyone, that we will just say the church, that where he's from, the churches that know him, they speak well of him. If the truth now has taken on a personality, even the truth speaks well about him. And the truth would, for example, be, here's the truth, and this is what the truth says is right. Then you look at Demetrius, it's like, oh, yeah, Demetrius is doing what the truth says. So the church, everyone says Demetrius is good. The truth that we know would commend Demetrius. And then he says, we ourselves, and you know our testimony is true. You know what I believe. And I'm telling you, Demetrius is good. Diotrephes is bad. This guy is evil. This guy is good. Just like I can call Diotrephes evil, I can tell you Demetrius is good. So there's your three testimonies, or three witnesses. The church, the truth, and John himself. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face, or like we saw last week, that means mouth to mouth. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. I mean, the church that, see, John is not, just like Paul, John is not over here isolated somewhere all by himself in some tangent. He's got a whole group of people that are with him in the truth. So when he says to Gaius, it's not just John writing a letter, it's John and all the friends that are with him are addressing Gaius. Which again, it gives it some clout as far as he's not just an isolated person. Greet the friends there by name. So right there you can kind of see, maybe Gaius is closer to the church than I presented, because you can see right here, I have much to write, but I do not want to do this with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we'll talk face to face. When he visits, he's going to talk to Diotrephes, and he's going to talk to Gaius. Maybe they're closer. And then he says, the friends here are my church, sends greetings to you, and say hi to all your friends there or the church that's there. So maybe this is close together. I mean, we don't know the details. I just gave you some ideas of the tension that you feel there. Gaius may be just, right up the street from Diotrephes' house. I don't know. But it seems like Gaius is a pretty important location in the travel routes. So there we have 3 John. Now it's interesting, after all that is said and done, and 3 John is complete, and in the midst of all this, sometime in the next, 24 months, if this was 90 AD, up to 95 AD, within the next 5 years, a few months, John is going to receive, he's going to be on the Isle of, John is not on the Isle of Patmos yet. Okay, you understand this. John, after all of this, is going to end up on the Isle of Patmos, and you understand what he says, why he's there. He's there for the sake of the Word of God and Jesus Christ. Because he's teaching the Word and he's teaching about the name, John is going to end up on the Isle of Patmos, and then he's going to receive the book of Revelation. So all of this has taken place before, but right up next to John's exile. Again, we don't know for sure. If this was 85 AD, Revelation is 96 AD, it's 11 years apart. If this is 95 AD and Revelation is 96 AD, it could be 6 to 10 to 12 months apart. So that's kind of an interesting framework. Meanwhile, Paul's been dead since 67, 68 AD. Peter's been dead since 64 AD. And John still hasn't got to the Isle of Patmos yet and received Revelation. Isn't that amazing? Let me put this in time frame. Okay, I'm done. And like I say, next week, I understand if you say, not really interested in the book of Hosea. Amos, I got a copy at home. I'll read it myself. I understand that. But I will be going through the prophets. I'll probably give you some kind of a timeline, kind of where they fit in first and how some of them overlap. And then as we teach through them, we kind of bump into them. And they'll be addressing, they will, in most cases, they're going to be addressing very specific, identifiable situations. The political powers that be, the kings that are in place, even the excavations that have been done. They talk about some of they're condemning the people and their behavior, especially in Samaria. When they excavate the city, it's very clear. The rich live here, and the very, very poor live right here. And like, here's the rich, and there's the poor. And it's like, what are you doing about it? Just, putting a curtain over the window and looking the other way. It's like, and there was just it wasn't like trickle down. It was a vast difference. And the prophets were speaking to those situations. So we read about it, and then we excavate and say, oh my gosh, look at the difference. And so anyway, there's many, many things like that will draw that. And again, the point of that is one, to teach the Word of God. The other is What's that say to us today? How's that address our situations? So, well, hey, thank you for being here. I'll pray, and we're free to go. Father, you again, thank you for the truth. We thank you for your word. We ask that we may hear and understand these things, that we may find a source of encouragement and strength, motivation, direction for our own lives, and encouragement for our own ministries and what you've called us to do. We thank you for putting us in the body of Christ. We ask that we would contribute to it, that we'd find strength from the church and from others within the church. But Father, we also ask that we'd feed back into it and provide our part as the church continues to grow and you continue to do your work at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your time.